Yes, good morning, everyone. This is your host, Brother Cotton, and I'm inviting you to another edition of our St. Jane Missionary Baptist Church podcast, where I, yours truly, am the pastor of St. Jane Missionary Baptist Church, and we welcome you to our podcast. For those of you who may be just joining us and have not been joining us either live or watching us at a later time of the day or whenever, this is just what it is. Our theme for our podcast is, how important is the Word of God to you? How important is the Word of God to you? And we usually started with, how important is the Word of God to you when it comes to, and whatever it is, our topic happens to be that particular day. So how important is the Word of God to you when it comes to, and today's topic being Bible prophecy? How important is the Word of God to you? Now, this is not just a theme or topic thrown out into the ether for no reason. Because it is one thing. Well, let me pause right here for a minute before we start going into our topic. Let's stop for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to gather together in this manner, to be able to share some thoughts, some ideas, to become illuminated by and through your word coming from different folks. We want to hear everyone's perspective, but we do know, and we commit ourselves to the Holy Bible being the final authority on whatever it is we may be thinking, we may be doing, or because that is how we govern our lives. So, Lord, we pray that you will be with us as we discuss this topic today. Guide our thoughts, our lips, our ears, that we can truly hear what is going forth. We do know that Satan is prince of the power of the air, and many times there are some things that we say, but sometimes it's a different thing that other people hear. So we're praying that you'll be with us in guiding this whole transmission. I pray that, Lord, you allow me to do this void of my pride and my vanity and my ego. Praying, Lord, that we can just have a great discussion and become truly illuminated today about this topic. This we do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, as we started saying, it is one thing to quote the Bible, to know what the Bible's saying, and even to the point that we believe what it is saying. But what are we going to do about it also? But we'll see as the conversation goes on. How many times have you heard someone say, these are the last days, or even the Bible says these things would happen? And like yourself, I've heard these and similar statements made concerning the condition that the world is in today. For those people who may be concerned or not walking around simply with their heads in the air, but observing some of the things that are going on today and in all walks of life. I'm not talking about just, as we've been talking in weeks gone by, the social issues, the community issues. Even we have not gotten too deep into what's going on in our very households where a lot of these things start, But all of these are concerns. The trends, and that's what I call a lot of these things, the trends that are going on in folks' lives today. Contractual marriages, I'm talking about marriage. You say, okay, we're going to be married for so many years, and if we lack it, we can continue. And we have certain stipulations in this country how the marriage is going to be governed. And when it comes to kids, when it comes to all, I mean, who thought things would get to this point? But these are the type of things that are happening today. Now, you might say to yourself, well, it's not happening with the majority of people. No, it's not. Maybe it isn't. But it's happening and it's growing daily. All these different types of trends. I not bringing your children up, as some say, I'm quoting, this is not my feelings, but people say, I'm not bringing my kids up with this stigma that they have to declare whether they're male or female and all that. And this, we just, some of us never thought we'd see these type of things become the issues that they are today, but they're real. This is what's going on. Like it, don't like it, it's here. And the Bible does address these things. The people who want to do these things. And that's why, again, we ask you, how important is the Word of God to you when it comes to these things? We're talking about Bible prophecy today. And a lot of you saying, oh, okay, this is a topic for these Christians and those who believe the Bible. Is it? Is it? Like we stated, how many times have you heard people make these statements, saint and sinner alike? Oh, the Bible said this. The Bible said it'd be days like this. Okay, and we hear this often by so many people. And some, of course, refer to whatever their religion of choice may be. Maybe their religion that they follow, I'll use the term, their holy book. Maybe addresses these the concerns of the day differently, and they may be referring to their book or their writings or their teachings. And but we hear this, but we have to ask ourselves, we hear this, but what are folks going to do about what you hear? I mean, if I hear that if you go around that corner, there's a great big ditch. Don't go around there, because if you just turn right around there, you'll fall right in. Now you gotta make a decision. Am I gonna say, oh, I don't believe them, and go walk right on around there and boom, fall in it? Or am I gonna take or heed to their advice and not go there, go a different way? Well, the same thing applies when we hear or read. We even see visually information, okay, that is relayed to us. I don't care if it's from the news media. I don't care if it's from the internet. I don't care if it's from television. I don't care if it's from newspapers, radio, word of mouth, Bible, and other books. What are you going to do with it? How important is that information to you? Yes, you say, well, I got to consider the source. Well, you must be considering the source, especially if you're quoting it, if you're referring to it. It has to have some degree, of merit to you. Why would you quote it? Who goes around quoting something that they really completely disbelieve? Unless you're going to give it the credit, well, so and so says that such and such. I don't really believe it, but that's what they say. It's in your head. It's stuck with you. There's something. It means something to you. Now you say, I don't believe it, but it's just information that I latched on to. Well, okay, fine. Now, let me do something. Let me do something that some of you may be surprised that I'll do. But I'm gonna be some different. Definitions that prophecy comes to. Or should I say, the word prophecy is defined from different sources. I've got them from different sources. Lexham Dictionary, Oxford, Google. But we're going to see this. Is there a common theme in all of this? Just bear with me. I'm not going to, be that long with it. Just stay with me. Prophecy. Now, here's one definition. Prophecy is a divine gift by which a human being is enabled to speak divinely, divine, authoritative words. Somebody is able to speak divinely authoritative words. Keep that in mind. Prophecy, again, an oral divine message mediated through an individual that is directed at a person or a people group. And it's intended to elicit a specific response. Prophecy. Now watch this. Defined in the Old Testament and ancient Near East, prophecy was one among many forms of what? Divination. People say it's a form of sorcery. Well, just a form of people we use to try to predict the future, things like that. Now watch this. Prophecy differs from other forms of divine human interaction in that a deity speaks directly to the audience and you're prophesying. Your prophecy. This is, in other words, they're saying this comes from some form of deity. You see where we're going with this here, where these definitions are going. See, some people assume that all prophecy comes from God. But this definition is letting us understand that prophecy can come from a God, not necessarily Jehovah God. Which also lets you understand that there are some people who are speaking prophecies that, well, you can do the math. If it's not coming from God, where else is it coming from? Okay, so let's go there. And one last one. Prophecy, or is sometimes it's simply called prediction, was one of the functions of the prophet. Now we're talking about Bible prophecy here. Okay. It has been defined as a miracle of knowledge. In other words, again, consistent with what we've seen in the other definitions, is coming from God. It didn't just come from out of that person's head. It's a miracle of knowledge. A declaration or a description or even a representation of something future. Okay, something beyond the power of humans to be able to foresee, discern, or even conjecture. It goes beyond that. Yeah, what the prophet is speaking has to be divinely inspired. They would not have been able to see what they're talking about, because what they are talking about may be something that's coming way in the future, even if it's tomorrow or 2 hours from now. Where did you get this knowledge from? You're saying, oh, wait a minute. So people that are saying the things that are happening today, I heard my grandparents, or I heard my grandparents say that their parents said, and so forth and so on, that these was going to happen. And then some of us are saying, well, yeah, the Bible does speak on this, but that when it speaks on it, that was written hundreds, a thousand, maybe a couple of thousand years ago. But isn't it amazing that we can read certain passages from the Bible that seems almost as if we're opening up the daily paper, the daily newspaper? And then some people are saying, well, these may be the last days, but it's not today. And there are some who spend years trying to put together everything that they can find in the Bible, prophecies, as you will, of things that are going to happen prior to the last day. And they're trying to figure out when is the last day is going to happen. Well, beloved, all of this we know is going on even as we speak. But again, it still raises the question, okay, fine. You hear that something is going to happen. You hear that something will happen if you do this and all that. What are we going to do about this? With so many people, like we stated, saint and sinner alike, eager to say that the Bible says this, the Bible says that, when they're trying to explain what's going on or what they see happening even in the world today, they want to refer to the Bible. Now, there's a lot of other sources of information out here. I'm not trying to make anyone feel as though that the Bible is the only source. Now, when we want to get in talking about the truth and all of that, that's a whole different discussion. But there are many people, many sources, many resources out here for information. But you think about it yourself. Maybe you're even one of those who have made the statement, oh yeah, Bible says this, these days will happen. You may not know where to find it in the Bible. You may not be 100% sure that of how it is even worded in the Bible. You've heard someone say it, and they've been saying it for so long that the Bible said this is going to happen. The Bible says that's going to happen. The Bible says people will do this. The Bible says people won't do that. And you may not know book, chapter, verse, where to find it. But it's in your head. And you say the Bible said that, and you've been quoting that for a while. And maybe to some degree, you've been governing yourself, your actions, your speech, where you go, what you do, based on some of these sayings that you got from the Bible. Continuing on with Bible prophecy, just raising questions here. There are basically two types of prophecy. Two major ones, I'll say, two major categories, if you will. When we talk about this divine message, they're basically two. One is prediction, or the foretelling of something that's going to happen in the future. And two, admonition. Now, this can either be in the form of exhortation, or maybe in the form of accusing. Okay? These categories, they often overlap. Okay, prediction and admonishing or admonition, they usually overlap. But these are your two basic, major, I should say, categories when it comes to prophecy. Again, prediction and admonition. These are your two major categories. When we talk about prophecy as prediction, prophecy is most commonly viewed, as this, as prediction or foretelling, as some would say. When the Bible talks about It speaks on predictive prophecy. It's found in so many places in the Bible, so many places. We're going to just look at a few. Just look at a few. See, they are important to you, but look at a few of the many prophecies which are in the Bible. But we're just going to look at a few which appear in Malachi, the book of Malachi, Matthew, and Revelation. But understand, this is just a few, just the tip. And they say it's the iceberg. Okay. From Malachi, I'm going to see if these are important to you. Maybe to you it's not. Maybe one of the other ones will just listen to this. Okay. It says in Malachi, the fourth chapter, the fifth and the sixth verses, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah." Now, speaking specifically of the prophet Elijah, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, let me pause here. Now, this is a predictive prophecy. He's going to send Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. You see Elijah. Someone's saying, "Wow. Wow." And you, as you have read and other passages of scripture come to your mind right now, wait a minute, Elijah was seen. Is Elijah one of the messengers? And now, all of this is coming into your head for some of you who are reading your Bible. Now you, if some of you say, "Well, I don't know what the Bible says about it, but I want to look up and find out a little bit more about Elijah." Good. 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 That's what it says in the sixth verse. That was the fifth verse. It says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Okay, and this is written way in the Old Testament, in Malachi. What about Matthew? And Matthew, especially the 24th chapter, one of my favorite chapters to read, and I have to read it and go refer to it often, because I could take the book of Matthew in the 24th chapter, lay it in front of me right here, then go out and get the daily newspaper and lay it right there, and they say, "Oh man, which one should I read? They both seem to apply to what's going on today." But you don't believe me. Let's look at a few passages out of the 24th chapter of Matthew. Okay, how about this second verse? Look at what it says. "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now you're saying, "Well, hasn't this happened already?" You know, a lot of these things we see happening today, we want to say that this is it. Oh, but it's not it. But that's going to cause you to do a little bit more digging, a little bit more research, maybe even ask a little bit more questions about it, because so many things that are happening today, we think that this is the end. But there's so many other things that have to line up that makes the whole picture clear. You can't take this one cluster of a puzzle and think you got it, because that good cluster makes some sense. It makes visual sense to you. You've made out a very important part of that puzzle, but it is not the whole puzzle. And that's the same thing with some of the things we see happening today. They are very important things. Okay, and they make the picture appear so much clearer to us, but it's not completely clear yet. It's not the whole picture, but it doesn't make sense. Some of you watch people draw the different murals on walls or wherever they put them, And before they're even done, you say, "Oh, I see what they're doing. I see what they're making." You got a good idea of what's going on, but it's not completely clear yet. It's not complete. And that's the same thing it is with a lot of the things that we see occurring, a lot of the things that we see happening, a lot of the things that people are saying today. Yes. Yes. It's making the end of seem to appear very clear to a lot of us, but it's not there yet. It's not there yet. Okay. Now. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but I'm going to jump through pieces of. We're still in Matthew, the 24th chapter. Okay. Jesus is sitting there on the, in the Mount of Olives. Okay, on the Mount of Olives. And the disciples came to him and they asked him, they said, well, when shall these things be? Okay, not one stone on top of the other and all that. When is this stuff going to happen? And Jesus said to them, just take heed that nobody deceive you. Now watch it. I'm not trying to preach to you, but I want you to understand when folks are talking about Bible prophecy, let me jump out and see, you know, some of these things without taking them out of context. I don't want you to just say, I'm taking them all and putting them where I want them to be. I want you to see where it's coming from. Okay. Jesus said there's gonna be a lot of people coming in his name. What? It's one thing that. Now, watch what he's saying. A lot of people coming in his name. Now, a lot of people just, you know, what do you mean by that? There are a lot of people that's coming and say, well, as a, I'm a messenger of Christ. I am following Christ's teaching. Christ has given me the power to do this. Jesus has given me the authority to say this. I'm doing it. But then there are also some that are saying, what, this is what Jesus says. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. There's gonna be something that's so bold enough to say that I'm Jesus. Now, I'm not just his representative, I am him. You're saying to yourself, are there any religions, cults, or whatever you want to call them, where the leader is calling himself God? Okay, y'all think about that. Okay, now this is what Jesus is telling them. Over 2,000 years ago, he's speaking this to his disciples. Now we're talking about Bible prophecy. You see how important this is to you. And then he goes on and says, oh, listen, y'all trying to know what's going on. He said, I don't want y'all to be fooled by these things. Let me tell you some other things that's going to happen. He said, you shall hear of wars and even the rumors of wars. What is he saying there? Now you're going to hear people say, oh yeah, they're getting ready to go to war. Over in this place, they're getting ready to go to war. And then you're also going to hear about what's happening in other places where they are actually warring. Like I said, ask yourself some questions. Do you think this is the last days or not? Is Bible prophecy important? He said, but don't be, he said, but don't get upset. Don't be troubled. For all these things, watch this, must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Oh my gosh. He's saying, wait a minute. This stuff is happening right now. He said, but this is not the end. Okay, let's go a little bit further. He said, because nation shall rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. He said, what's the difference? King, when you say nation against nation, you're talking about groups of people, different organizations going against other organizations. And this does not have to mean, well, this country is coming over here to fight that country. That's the kingdom against kingdom. I'm just simplifying it, but this is what we're talking about. Well, what are you talking about when you say nation against nation? I don't know. Could we be talking about, blacks against whites, these group of people going against another group of people, maybe Muslims against Hindus, maybe it's other different groups or people, you got to use words like factions and things like that that's going on. within a particular country? Could it be religious groups? It can be all of that. You say, well, wait a minute, you're talking almost of civil wars. Again, I'm just sharing this with you. It's right here. I didn't write it. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Okay. We're just looking at the 7th verse. He says, yes, you're going to have nations against nation, kingdom against kingdom. He said, there shall be famines, starvings, people starving, pestilences, different things bringing diseases, bird flu, all kinds of different things happening. Okay, an earthquake in all types of places. And then he goes on and says one more thing here to this. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning. He said, well, wait a minute. This stuff right there, that part, some of that is happening right now. Just the beginning. Just the beginning. This is for those who say the Bible says this, these days will happen. Here it is. Here it is. Okay. He said, now then, now these, he's telling the disciples things that's going to take place. Okay, prior to his coming. He said, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, this is what he's saying to the disciples specifically, but I don't want you to miss this. Okay? When he said they shall deliver you up, he's talking about believers, those who are following him. Y'all hear what's going on around about you all around the world. You even mentioned that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and that could be your life. That could be your life. He said these are going to be. They should deliver you up to be afflicted, to be tortured, to be beaten, to be jailed, all of these different things. Not just here. Even though, believe it or not, we're reading in the papers of things that are happening to so many believers, so many Christians today, even here in the United States, but even much so, much more abroad in different other parts of the world, we see these things happening. Okay. And then, but watch what he says. And you should be hated of all nations. Remember we talked about nation against nation, as it said back here in the 7th verse. But he says here, you should be hated of all nations. Now I want to pause here for a second. One thing that's always puzzled me. You have different religions that don't get along, different beliefs of people that don't get along. We see that even in the Bible. At one point, Samaritans, Jews, they just did not get along. But we also see other passages of scripture where they did. We see with by way of Jesus' teaching where that changed. But he's telling us here, you've got all you just think about this now. All the different nations that are out here. When you start thinking about different religions, Arabs, Jews, Christians, you're talking nations, different religions, priests, Roman Catholicism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, the list goes on and on and on. You have all of these, but look at what it says, and this always amazes me. Okay, he says, you talk about you, one, you following me. This is what you say, you follow me. Will be hated of all nations because of me. Now, all of these different religions, they all don't get along, you say, right here today. But yet, all of them will hate the followers of Jesus. Just think about that. Just think about that. Okay, and this is not new. But again, another lesson for another time. I will give you one little, I'll say, clue. I'm not trying to quiz anybody, but you need to reread Jonah sometime, Book of Jonah. Okay. And now he says now, and then this is still more stuff. And this is still more stuff. He said, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. See, there's a lot of people who's not gonna be able to go through all of this. We're not gonna be able to take this. You know, man, I can get the government to ease up on me if I let them know where there are people who following Jesus, who still are doing what he says to do. And this is the time period, and this is gonna happen. Okay. And he's saying that it's going to be someone who's going to betray one another. Now, some of you are saying, man, if their faith is so strong, if this is, it's easy for us to say that. It's easy for me to say, yeah, well, if they really believe, they wouldn't do this, they wouldn't do that. And I can easily say that to you while I'm sitting in my warm house when it's cold outside, or I'm sitting in my cool house under the air conditioner or fan when it's really hot out, or while I'm drinking a glass of water, you know, maybe bottled water or water out of my spigot while I'm snacking on something that I looked in the cupboard and chose to eat. It's easy for me to say that, but I'm not one of those people who don't have food in their cupboard, who can just go and get a glass of water when they're thirsty. Everybody don't have that luxury. Everybody aren't not able to sit there in the cool of their home. It's burning hot outside. Everybody just don't have that luxury. Everybody can't sit there comfortably in their warm house because even though it's cold outside, they don't have that luxury. And not able to obtain it without giving in to the government. The kingdoms that are ruling them, they're not able to do that today. I'm not talking about when things get really, really, really bad. I'm talking about not, there are places today where they can't do that. So when you tell them they could betray somebody, if you've been promised, yeah, if you turn this person in, we'll give you a loaf of bread. Some of you are saying a loaf of bread. Or a loaf of bread is, and there's gonna be a time that's gonna feel like a steak dinner. A loaf of bread will be welcome to a mother that has a baby that's crying because they're hungry. She's not able to get enough sustenance for herself, even to nurse her own children, her own babies. You hear your baby crying, crying. Do you realize it's gonna be a point where a mother is in the scripture. They were presented to King Solomon. Woman even ate her own child. Some of us who've not experienced hunger don't know what you'll do. Don't know what it would take to make you do something you never thought you would ever do because you're that hungry. You're that cold. You're that hot. Your body's going through stuff and you never thought it would have to go through. You say, I would never betray a brother. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Now, with all of this, now I'm not saying that just one of these things are happening. All of these things are happening. I want you to try to imagine this. All of these things are happening. And then he said, okay, many false prophets are going to rise and they're going to fool many people. Okay, and he said, because so much of this stuff is going on, so many of these evil things are going on, the love of many will wax cold. People, they may see you get beaten by somebody right there in broad daylight. It's not my business. I don't want to get involved. Many things could happen. You think about it, and people they may be concerned, and they may recognize that it's wrong. Love of many shall wax cold. And then some just going to say, well, hey, you know, how many times have you heard even gunshots outside your window or down the street? Maybe you're eating dinner, you didn't even miss a forkful, spoonful. People say, well, you become desensitized to it. The love of many shall wax cold. There was a time you heard something like that, you couldn't wait to get to the door, make sure it wasn't somebody you know, make sure it wasn't even one of your children, one of your nieces, nephews, just a neighbor, somebody you knew. But now you might not even shake your head. You might just keep right on watching your TV program, don't even miss it. The love of many shall wax cold. He said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. All of these are prophecies. I want y'all to get this. I'm not just saying this trying to preach to you. I want you to understand. All of these are prophecies. Okay, and this is just for one book, one chapter of one book. But look in the, and look what it says in the 14th verse. I'm not going to go any further than this. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. There's not going to be anybody with an excuse that they never heard this. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. One phrase we say all the time at our church, all means all. No exception. All means all. It shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then just look at what Jesus says. And then shall the end come. After all of this abounds. And then the end will come. Wow. Okay. And that's just in Matthew. Now, I can read on and on and on, but I want you to see my point. Now, some of you are saying, wow, is there anything else? Like I said, I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg. There are many passages of scripture, many passages of scripture that deal with this. Okay. In Revelation 11 chapter. Again, I'm not going to go through it in great length. I'm going through it very quickly. He says, the third verse, I just want to read this third verse, 11th chapter. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These prophets. They're going to prophesy that long. Okay. You know, and it goes more and more about what they're going to be doing. Again, I gave it to you, Revelation 11th chapter. That was just the third verse. I encourage you just to read the, from the first verse on. Okay. And there's many, many more examples. Like I said, I have not even given you, I keep saying the tip of the iceberg. We know that the greatest part of an iceberg is the part we can't see. You know, but I'm just giving you the very tip of the iceberg. There's also prophecies, examples of not just, you know, these are, you see, admonishing and predicting in some of the, what I've read for you. Even predicting divine salvation, you'll find that in Hosea. Beautiful, beautiful. Hosea is just a good book to read, period, especially dealing with relationships. But in the second chapter, the 14th through the 23rd verses, you want to see about divine salvation, you read those verses. Okay. You want to see about prophecies about military victory. Look at Judges, the fourth chapter, the fourth through the ninth verses. And we can go on. And like I said, we can go on and on and on. You say, well, I'm not just trying to teach you prophecies. The point I wanted to get, and I hope that you didn't miss this. The reason why I chose this particular passage is because when I hear folks talking about the Bible says this, the Bible says that, you see it right here. Some of you can't wait to get in front of your Bibles and reread this and make sure I'm not reading something false to you. This 24th chapter of Matthew, that's only where I focused at. Just all of this stuff that's happening right there. And just the portion that I read. Some of you are saying, I see this happening right now. This must be the reason why people are saying the Bible says this, the Bible says that. So no, not just the saints, the sinners, like I said, as I before stated, are saying this. Maybe they remember it from Sunday school. Maybe they've heard it channel surfing. Maybe they hear it from a friend. But they heard it. And it stuck, a portion of it stuck with them. Now, do they understand it? Do you believe it? What are you doing about it? Those are maybe some of the next questions that need to be asked. Because if you see all of this happening in front of you, and you just turn a deaf ear, turn a blind eye, ignore it, and maybe go another direction. Is that an example of your love waxing cold? You see somebody who says they're hungry. You may be able to afford to give them a sandwich, get them a pretzel, maybe a pretzel and a soda. I don't know what your capabilities are. Maybe you say, all I got is my sandwich, but you're willing to have, I'm willing to share that with you. I might even be willing to give it to you. Or are you the one that say, well, I guess somebody else who's better off than me will help them. Oh yeah, well, why are they out here? There's so many free places giving away food and all this stuff. They can go there. But they're not there. They're right there in front of you. Are there any other good Samaritans left? Are you one of them? We love that parable about the good Samaritan. Many of you are familiar with it. Many of you understand that, yes, he helped that person that was beat down. And you don't see anywhere we asked him, well, what is your political affiliation? Are you saved? Are you unsaved? Did you start the fight? That's why you got beat. He didn't ask him anything. He was able to help him, and he helped. I don't need to know all of that. I see you bleeding in front of me, and I'm a doctor, a nurse, and maybe have some medical supplies with me. I don't need to ask any questions. I need to do something if I'm able to do so. But today, watch this here. Not because you don't want to do it, but this is all part of what he's saying here. The law's got it so that you may help somebody and turn around and be sued. And now you're scared to even help anybody. So many things going on in this world today, and they all intertwine. They intertwine. Like we said, you help somebody, maybe even save their life, and they turn around and sue you. Because while you were giving them artificial respiration, or while you were pumping to get their heart restarted, Oh, you bruised their rib. They want to sue you. You just saved their life. Now they want to turn around and sue you. All they see is an opportunity because the laws have got it so fixed that they find ways that they can go through it and try to get some money or try to get something else from somebody else. Where's the love? You show love to trying to restore this person back to health, and they returned it by suing you. So now you may be hesitant. You get past this, you're hesitant now to help anybody else. Like I said, they all intertwine, they all cause like a ripple effect. This is the way the world is going right now. And again, there's so many people that are taking heed or paying attention at least to Bible prophecy. Now, how they respond to it, that might be another discussion for another time. But at least they're taking heed that the Bible has something to say about the things that's going on. The Bible has had something to say about it many years ago about what's going on today. And some of you are saying to yourself, well, if the Bible could speak on all of this thousands of years ago, and it's also speaking on what's going to take place maybe in days to come, maybe I need to pay attention to what the Bible is saying. Because it wasn't wrong. It hasn't been wrong yet. If it's telling me that this is going to happen, what am I going to do in preparation? Now, this to me, this is a logical train of reasoning. You've been wrong. I mean, you've been correct in the past. You're correct. Now, shouldn't I listen to you when you say what's going to happen in the future? How important is the word of God to you when it comes to Bible prophecy? Listen, I'm glad that you're able to participate with us to listen. To watch, we welcome your comments. We welcome them. Just reminding you that our podcast is live on Tuesdays at 7 a.m. And I want to invite you. I want to invite you to come and attend with us as we broadcast live. For those of you who have Zoom, our meeting ID is 829-9771-4213. You don't need a password because everyone is welcome. Of course, we always hope and pray that you will govern yourselves accordingly. We don't go in for profanity and things of that nature. It doesn't bother us if you disagree. You have a right to do so. We just hope so that you can do so agreeably. Okay, and we want to talk about it. You know, that's what we're here for. You know, try to illuminate. If you just want to disagree for disagree's sake, we hope that you don't want to do just that. We hope that that you'll be open, you know, for reasoning, you know, that we might be able even to reason together, you know, and we can do that intelligently. We like to do that intelligently, taking into consideration anyone and everyone who may be participating, watching, listening. You know that you can always reach us through our website. St. James MBC mother, brother, children, Philly, MBC, .com. That is St. James, MBCPhilly.com. That you can come right to our website and you have access to our Facebook, our YouTube, Instagram, and so many other topics that we've discussed in the past. You'll see some videos there, and some if you just want the notes that you want to be able to take them and go through them, you can do that as well. And you can email me also at pastor@stjamesmbcphilly.com. Feel free to email, and if you have some questions, comments, looking for some other information, whatever it is, we can get to you. We're willing to do that. So feel free to do that as well. If there any other thing that you'd like to ask or question about or state, you can go to, on our website. You'll find that there are places where you can put your comments in and give us your email, if you will, and we can get back to you. So we encourage you to do that as well. Okay. So we thank you for engaging with us on this podcast. Again, our topic for today was how important is the Word of God to you when it comes to Bible prophecy? We hope that what we have talked about today has been enlightening to you, and we encourage you even to tell others. This is a site where, they're welcome to come and attend. All right. God bless you and his smile upon you. Lord, we do thank you for this time you've given us. We thank you for being able to engage in Christian conversation relative to what is going on in our lives today. We thank you for your word. We pray that you grant us the wisdom and understanding to rightly divide your word. We thank you for things old, things new that you have shown us. And again, we pray that you allow us to govern ourselves accordingly. Be with us even the rest of this day, Lord. Let us govern ourselves in such a manner that those around us can see you through us, that you might get the glory and the honor out of our lives. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.